भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Canto 2, Chapter 1. Chapter 1 is entitled The First Step in God Realization. And today we are reading Text 26. Patalametasya hi padamulam Patanti pashi prapade rasatalam Mahatalam Vishwasajotha Galpho Talatalam Vai Purushasya Jange Patalam. The planets at the bottom of the universe. Etasya. Of his. He. Exactly. Padamulam. Soles of the feet. Patanti. They study it. Parshi. The heels. Prapade. The toes. Rasatalam. The planets named Rasatala. Mahatalam. The planets named Mahatala. Vishwasrajaha. Of the creator of the universe. Atha. Thus. Galpho. The ankles. Talatalam. The planets named Talatala. Why? As they are. Purushasya. Of the gigantic person. Jange. The shanks. Translation and purport by Prabhupada. Persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the universal law, and the heels and the toes are the Rasatala planets. The ankles are the Mahatala planets, and his shanks constitute the Talatala planets. Purport. Outside the bodily existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic existence has no reality. Everything and anything of the manifested world rests on him, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4. But that does not simply imply that everything and anything in the vision of a materialist is the Supreme Personality. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialists to think of the Supreme Lord. But the materialist must know for certain that his visualization of the world in a spirit of lording over it is not God realization. The materialistic view of exploitation of material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the supreme truth by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate the service attitude. Unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of Virat realization will have very little effect on the seer. The transcendental Lord, in any conception of his form, is never a part of the material creation. He keeps his identity as the Supreme Spirit in all circumstances and is never affected by the three material qualities, for everything material is contaminated. The Lord always exists by his internal energy. The universe is divided into 14 planetary systems. Seven planetary systems called Bhur, Bhuvar, Swar, Mahar, Janas, Tapa and Satya are upward planetary systems, one above the other. There are also seven planetary systems downward, known as Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Rasatal and Patal, gradually one below the other. In this verse, the description begins from the bottom because it is in line of devotion that the Lord's bodily description should begin from his feet. Sukadev Goswami is a recognized devotee of the Lord, and he is exactly correct in the description. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati sva padantikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam वाञ्छाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैप्टर 1 ऑफ कैंटो 2 व्हिच इज एंटाइटल्ड द फर्स्ट स्टेप इन गॉड रियलाइजेशन एंड टुडे वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट 26। So earlier canto, in the first canto, because this canto has just begun, we'll give some reference as to why Sukadeva Goswami is speaking these verses. So in the first canto, at the end of the canto, very end, in the last few verses, Parikshit Maharaj has asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. His question was that what is the duty? He actually praises Sukadeva Goswami first. He says that, O spiritual master of sages as well as devotees, can you please explain to me, because you know the truth, that what is the duty of every living entity in this world and especially of one about to die? So the question is in two parts. He is asking the duty of every human being, of every living entity in this world, and he is also asking specifically the duty of a person about to die, because that was his own situation. And thus, at this question and a few verses after that, the first canto ends. And the second canto begins with Sukadeva Goswami glorifying Parikshit Maharaj's question. Because Sukadeva Goswami was very happy with the type of questions that Parikshit Maharaj was asking him. And it is said, it is explained in the Bhagavatam that it is the duty of the hearer or the listener of spiritual topics to milk the speaker. Just as a cowherd man milks the cow, it is the duty of the hearer to milk the speaker by keeping on asking relevant questions, so that the speaker is enthused to keep on speaking more and more about the glories of the Lord. And Sukadeva Goswami, being the spiritual master, he is very pleased with the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. So he praises his questions in the opening verse of the second canto of the first chapter. He says, Varyan e sate prashna krita loka hitam ripa atmavit sammataha pumsa shrota vyadishu yaparaha. So he says, O Parikshit Maharaj, your question is very glorious because it is for loka hitam. It is for the good of every living entity. It is for the good. It is for the benefit of human beings. And it is the prime subject matter for hearing. The answer to this question is the main thing which people should be doing in their life. Shrota vyadishu yaparaha. It is the prime subject matter for hearing for every living entity in the world. So then in answer to that question, in the 10th and 11th verse of this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is giving the answer to the first part of the question. So the first part of the question was that what is the duty of a living entity in general, of a human being in general? So in answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami explains in the 10th verse, he says that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and he gives a little bit history before that. He says that I heard this narration about the glories of the Lord from my father, Vedavyas, at the end of the Dwapar Yuga. And although I was a transcendentalist, because Sukadeva Goswami was already a Brahmavadi, he was a liberated soul. So although I was a transcendentalist, I got attracted to hearing the glories of the personal form of the Lord. So anybody who hears Srimad Bhagavatam develops intense faith in the Lord. So this is the duty in general of every person, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And further he explains in verse 11, the further duty of every human being. And he also says that chanting the holy names of the Lord is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all if they follow it in the footsteps of great acharyas. So he speaks the famous verse, Etan nirvidyamananam ichatam akuto bhayam yogi nam nripanir nipam hare ram anu kirtanam. So, ichchata makuto bhayam, it is the doubtless and fearless way to follow in the footsteps of great acharyas and constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. So, these are the two duties of every person in general in the world. First is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, which will lead to developing intense faith in the Supreme Lord. And second is constant hearing and constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So these are the two duties of a human being in general. And then in the 15th verse, Sukadeva Goswami further describes, because Parikshit Maharaj had also asked second part of the question, that what is the duty of a dying man specifically? So he describes in from the 15th verse onwards of this chapter, that the duties of about a man about to die. And he tells, O Parikshit Maharaj, you have 7 days left to live. So the duty of a person who, like you, is about to leave this world, is first of all to develop detachment. So he should develop detachment, and then in the next few verses he further explains that not only should he develop detachment, he should leave his home. He should go to a lonely place and duly sanctify that place, and he should practice self-control over there. And then he should start meditation. And in further he describes what should he meditate on. So he says that he should start meditating on the limbs of Vishnu one after the other. So Sukadeva Goswami describes that the duty of a dying man is to first of all become detached and leave his home, go to a lonely place which he should duly sanctify, sit down there in a certain posture, and then he should practice sense control over there, like withdraw his senses from material sense objects, and he should start meditating on the limbs of Vishnu one by one. So then Parikshit Maharaj inquires, after listening to all these duties of a dying man, Parikshit Maharaj inquires that how should the mind be applied, or how should we meditate so that all the dirty things in the mind can be removed or can be thrown far away? Because Parikshit Maharaj knows that, you know, the minds of people are very dirty, filled with so many things, so many impressions since lifetimes. So he says that how should one remove all these dirty things? This is the question Parikshit Maharaj asks after hearing from Sukadeva Goswami about the duties of a dying man. So we wonder, because why Parikshit Maharaj is asking such a question? But actually Parikshit Maharaj is setting an example. Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question for loka hitam, for the benefit of conditioned souls like all of us. Parikshit Maharaj is actually already a pure devotee of the Lord. He has already done the steps which Sukadeva Goswami is describing. He has already left his home. He has already come to a holy sanctified place. He is sitting on the river banks of river Ganga, which is already a sanctified place. And that place was further sanctified because there were so many thousands of sages who came to give association to Parikshit Maharaj during his last few days. So he was already sitting in a sanctified place. He had already given up his family. So he had already developed detachment also. But then why is Parikshit Maharaj inquiring like this? He's inquiring this for the benefit of all of us. Because he knows that, you know, people in material world are full of are so conditioned. Their mind is so contaminated that they will definitely need to hear what needs to be done if the mind is contaminated. So he is asking this question. There is no need for him, but he is still asking this question. And then Sukadeva Goswami starts answering this question. And we see that now a little bit technical section of the Bhagavatam has started, the description of the Virat Rupa. So sometimes when all this technical information comes up, you know, our conditioned mind, especially my conditioned mind, makes me think that why Parikshit Maharaj had to ask these questions. Now Sukadeva Goswami will keep describing all technical aspects of Bhagavatam. He will describe the whole Virat Rupa, what is situated where on the gigantic body. In fact, in the further cantos, Parikshit Maharaj asks further technical questions. So there is a description of atom, there is a description of time, and there is a description of the structure of the universe. So all this is given in so much detail. It has been explained so much technically by Sukadeva Goswami. So sometimes we wonder, even when we are doing our Bhakti Vaibhav course under Keshav Prabhu, if we come across these sections, we actually wonder, when will this section get over? Because it's so technical, there is no pastime, we feel there is no rasa in this. So it's going on and on and on. But Parikshit Maharaj is so eagerly hearing all these topics. And in fact, he's imploring Sukadeva Goswami more and more. Don't tell me in concise form. Please tell me in detail. So he keeps imploring Sukadeva Goswami to go into the depths of even these technical topics. Now, actually if we see, his situation is much different than ours. Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave the body in 7 days. We might not leave our body in 7 days by Krishna's mercy. So we have time to hear all these technical information, but still we have no taste, or still we want to skip because it's a technical part. And Parikshit Maharaj actually had very less time, but still he is not telling Sukadeva Goswami that, oh, you go directly to the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam and you tell me directly the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which he was actually qualified to hear because he is a pure devotee of the Lord. He in fact had darshan of the Lord in his womb, when he was in the womb of his mother. So he is such a pure devotee of the Lord that the Lord appeared before him personally. So he was definitely qualified to hear confidential pastimes of Radha Krishna directly. But still he doesn't want to do that. And Prabhupada warns all of us by using the example of Parikshit Maharaj. He says that it is very good for conditioned souls to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam systematically. One should not skip, one should not go without any qualification to the further cantos. So Prabhupada explains, and it is from the Padma Purana it is explained, that the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are actually the lotus feet of the Lord, or they are called as the pada of the Lord. The third and fourth canto are the thighs of the Lord. So in this way the Srimad Bhagavatam is progressing, starting from the feet of the Lord. So first two cantos are Lord's lotus feet. The third and fourth cantos are the Lord's thighs. The fifth canto is the Lord's navel. The sixth canto is his chest. The seventh and eighth cantos are his two arms. The ninth canto is the neck of the Supreme Lord. The tenth canto is the blossomed lotus face of the Lord. The smiling face of the Lord is the tenth canto. The 11th canto is the forehead. And the 12th canto is the crown of the Lord. So in this way Srimad Bhagavatam progresses, starting from the feet of the Lord till the crown. And Prabhupada says that unless one is purified, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an explanation or gives definition of purification for a human being. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur defines purification as cessation from sex indulgence or cessation from sex desire. This is what is qualified as a person being pure. If he has control over his sex desire and if he doesn't indulge in sex anymore, such a person is considered as purified, and that person can actually go to the 10th canto and understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But till a person does not have control over this aspect of life, till a person still is attracted to material sense objects, for such a person Prabhupada recommends that he should systematically study the Bhagavatam. Start with the path, the lotus feet. Study that systematically. Then go upwards, third, fourth, fifth. So one should assimilate the contents of the first nine cantos very nicely. Purify oneself, because Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya means purification of the heart will happen. So purify oneself and then only go to the 10th canto. So we see that Parikshit Maharaj is actually following that etiquette himself, even though he doesn't need to. He is following that etiquette that tell me in detail about this Virat Purusha which Sukadeva Goswami is describing right now. So he is following the etiquette of actually going through different steps in realization of Srimad Bhagavatam without straight away going to the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So in answer to Parikshit Maharaj's question, Parikshit Maharaj asked, after hearing about the duties of the dying man, that how can all these dirty things be removed from the mind and how can one meditate on the limbs of Vishnu one after the other. In answer to that question, Sukadeva Goswami is describing that one should meditate on the gross potencies of the Lord, that is the Virat Rupa. So now the description of the Virat Rupa has started. Today actually from this verse, the detailed description of Virat Rupa has started. So Sridhar Swami in Burijan Prabhu's Unveiling His Lotus Feet, Burijan Prabhu quotes Srila Sridhar Swami. He is saying that Sukadeva Goswami is explaining two things in this section. He is first explaining Pratyahar, means how one should control their senses, and the next step he is explaining is internal meditation, how one should meditate on the Virat Rupa or the limbs of the body of the Lord. So this meditation of the Virat Rupa is especially meant, as Parikshit Maharaj's question implies, for a person who has too much conditioning in his mind, too much dirty things in the mind. So this meditation, Prabhupada explains in the purports of this section, that it is specially meant for the materialistic philosophers and scientists to meditate on this Virat Rupa. Because these philosophers and scientists, they cannot see anything beyond the atomic energy and the gigantic situation of the universe. They are very obsessed with that. Scientists, if we see, they are always studying atoms, like, or studying, trying to explore the universe and go into the depths of the universe and how big this is. And we keep getting emails about how small our sun is compared to the biggest sun in our solar system. So they are very interested in all these gigantic features of the Lord. They are not able to grasp the nominal spiritual existence of the Lord. And for such people who are very attracted to these aspects of the Lord, then meditation on the Virat Rupa is recommended. So since such materialists are unable to accept the personal feature of the Lord, if you tell them directly that there is a Lord existing, who is the creator of this gigantic material universe, and He is the cause of all causes, He is Govindamadi Purusham, they will definitely not accept. And we face this resistance so many times when we are trying to preach to especially the so-called educated people. They do not accept all these spiritual aspects of the Lord. For such people then, it is recommended that they study the Virat Rupa of the Lord in terms of what they can actually understand, or what they can actually apply their knowledge to. That is the gigantic feature of the universe. So meditation on the Virat Rupa of the Lord, Prabhupada explains in the purports, and Purichand Prabhu also explains in his book, is actually akin to pantheism. Now what does pantheism mean? Pantheism means to identify God with the universe, or to identify God with each and every object in the universe. So gradually, once one identifies God with every aspect of the universe, then gradually one moves forward and one is able to understand the spiritual relationship of the universe with the Lord. So we see that there are many, especially the aboriginal people and the tribal people in almost every country, even in our own country, Australia, we see that they actually worship certain objects in the universe. Sometimes some people worship sky, sometimes some people worship hills or mountains or some forest or some special tree. They worship that as the Lord. And we see that in Australia, like the Uluru, you know, which is like a national monument of Australia. So I was just doing some research, and this Uluru has a lot of spiritual significance for the aboriginal people who live around that area. And therefore they actually advise, there is a notice outside Uluru that they do not like people climbing on Uluru, because it has spiritual significance. It's a sanctified place for them. So this Uluru is a mountain which these aboriginal people are identifying with the Supreme. And they, for them, therefore, this Uluru is worshipable. So this is called as pantheism. Identifying objects in the universe and worshipping them as being Supreme, or as being part of the Supreme. And Prabhupada says that gradually one should progress from this neophyte pantheism. And why is it called neophyte? Because what these people do, they actually identify these objects in the universe to be the Supreme, but they do not progress further from there. They do not then understand that, okay, this is in relation to the Supreme Lord, and they do not further progress to understanding the personal aspect of the Lord. So therefore Prabhupada calls this as immature pantheism. So he says gradually one should progress from immature pantheism to mature pantheism. Mature pantheism means you actually see that yes, everything in the universe is a creation of the Lord, and the Lord is there in every atom, every molecule of the universe, and the Lord has a separate existence as the Supreme Lord as well. And this mature pantheism was displayed actually by Prahlad Maharaj. So we just finished studying that section in Bhaktivedanta course with Keshav Prabhu. And there Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj that if you say that your Lord is everywhere and you're deriving your power from the Lord, is He in this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj could actually see the Lord everywhere. So he says, yes, He's there in this pillar. And then Narasimha Dev gives his darshan, or appears from the pillar, just to prove Prahlad Maharaj's words as true. So this is mature pantheism, to see the Lord in every object of the universe and not consider that, you know, there is no Supreme, but this pillar is only the Lord, but there is no other personality which the Lord has. So that is immature pantheism, which some of the aboriginals limit themselves to. So the minds of materialistic, you know, the minds of these spiritual, these material philosophers, they are so flickering and they are so obsessed with the mode of passion and ignorance that for them it is very difficult to understand this spiritual concept or personal aspect of the Lord. And therefore for them, Sukadeva Goswami has started describing the Virat Rupa of the Lord. So that they can see the material creations like this Uluru, like mountains, hills, trees and all that, as being the non-different from the Lord's body. Because matter is anyway not separate from the Lord. Prabhupada says matter is not separate from the Lord. The Lord is present in every atom of matter as well. So for these people, therefore, this Virat Rupa is being described. And what is the goal of such meditation on the Virat Rupa? Why? Why should these philosophers meditate? So Prabhupada explains that the goal of this is to gradually diminish the demoniac challenge of godlessness. Because most of the philosophers or these scientific people or these scientists and researchers, they are, most of them are godless people. They do not believe in the existence of the Lord. So it is this description of the Virat Rupa and meditation of the Virat Rupa is recommended to bring them out, to bring them out of the challenge of godlessness, to diminish that demoniac challenge and to bring one to the development of devotional service. And therefore this chapter is entitled as the first step in God realization. That means people who are completely godless, who do not believe in the existence of the Lord, but who actually are fascinated by the gigantic aspects of the universe, for them this is recommended. So if they slowly meditate and they read how every aspect of the universe is but a part of the body of the Lord, it will bring them out of that godless consciousness and slowly bring them to the path of spiritual development or realization of the personal aspect of the Lord. But Prabhupada also recommends for devotees that instead of meditating on this Virat Rupa of the Lord, it is better for devotees to meditate directly on the deity form of the Lord. This is meant especially like, you know, if we see somebody and we tell them, oh, you meditate on the Virat Rupa of the Lord, depending on their level of consciousness. But Prabhupada says that for devotees, it is better to meditate on the deity form because he is actually present. He is taken the form of matter, but the Lord is actually there because he is Archavigraha, he is actually there in the deity form. So for devotees it is better, and for devotees it is, Prabhupada says it is not recommended. It's a very difficult process to meditate on this Virat Rupa of the Lord. So the Virat Rupa, there are two purposes. That means why Sukadeva Goswami is describing this Virat Rupa. The first purpose is to bring materialistic people or these philosophers and scientists through pantheism into devotional service, gradually into devotional service. And the second purpose, and that purpose is why the Lord manifests this Virat Rupa, is actually to give foolish people a lesson that the Lord, even though he comes in a human form of life, he is the supreme absolute truth. He is the controller. He is the creator of this whole universe. And therefore the Lord manifests his Virat Rupa so that people don't get baffled. Sometimes when people see the human form or they hear about the human form of the Lord, they think that he is an ordinary person. That how can this be the supreme Lord? And therefore, Krishna or the Lord displays his Virat Rupa to actually dissipate these doubts in the mind of people. And actually to give a challenge to pretenders. Because we find in this world, and I think this aspect was discussed in yesterday's Bhagavatam class also, that there are many pretenders in today's world, in Kali Yuga especially, who claim that they are the Lord, they are the Supreme Lord, they are an incarnation of Vishnu, or they are the Lord and everybody should worship them. So Prabhupada always says that challenge these people to show them their, to show the universal form of the Lord. And that therefore the Lord showed his universal form, because nobody else can do this. People, nobody has the capacity to show this universal form except for the Lord. So in the same section that we were studying, Narasimha Dev's pastime, actually the Prabhupada explains that the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is twofold. The first purpose of ISKCON or the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. But the second purpose, and Prabhupada declares it very boldly, is to kill the pretenders who claim to be God. Prabhupada was so heavy on these pretenders. He was so fixed in his service to Krishna that he did not want anybody to claim all these false things and to sway the innocent people away from the supreme goal of life, which is to realize Krishna. So Prabhupada says that kill all these pretenders who claim that they are the Supreme Lord. Tell them to show the universal form if they are the Supreme Lord. But they can't, because this capacity only the Lord has. So coming back to today's verse then, we see that Sukadeva Goswami has started describing the universal form of the Lord in great detail. And Prabhupada explains that he is starting with the bottom of the, with the feet, like the bottommost part of the universe, which is the feet of the Lord. So he says that Patala are the bottom of the feet of the Lord. And this is actually a correct etiquette in description of the Lord, that we always start describing the Lord from his lotus feet. Even in Kunti Maharani's section, when Kunti Maharani is, Krishna is about to leave, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Kunti Maharani has come to offer her prayers. She all, in that section also Prabhupada describes that whenever one takes darshan also of the Lord, we should not directly see the face of the Lord. Always start taking darshan of the Lord from his lotus feet. Observe his lotus feet, his ankle bells, all the jewellery which has been kept on his lotus feet. And slowly our darshan or our vision should move upwards through the legs, the thighs, the waist, the chest, the arms, the flute, and then go to the face, the smiling face of the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami is correct in his description as to he's starting the description with the Patala Loka, which is the under the bottom, like the bottom of the feet of the Lord. This same description of the Virat Rupa once again comes up. Right now it has come up in the first chapter of the second canto. It will again come up in the fifth chapter of the second canto. And this comes up during a conversation between Narad Muni and Lord Brahma. So Narad Muni actually approaches Lord Brahma, and Narad Muni asks, Narad Muni is actually thinking that Lord Brahma is the supreme. And he asks Brahma that you are the supreme and you have created all this world. So you please describe to me about this world in detail. And in answer to Narad Muni's questions, Brahma explains to him. He says that no, I am not the supreme. I am actually a secondary creator. All the ingredients of the creation are given to me by the supreme creator, who is Vishnu or Krishna. And then only I create. So I am just the secondary creator of this material world. But there is someone above me who is the supreme Lord and who is the creator not only of this material universe but also of the spiritual universe. And that time Narad Muni gives a description again of the Virat Rupa of the Lord. And once more this description of the Virat Rupa will come in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma has just been born on the lotus flower, which is coming out of the navel of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. And Lord Brahma is completely confused. When he comes out, he sees darkness all around. He can just see this long stem going downwards, and he discovers himself sitting on a lotus. And then he can see the water of the Garbhodaka ocean. But he is completely confused. So he travels down the stem of the lotus feet for such a long time, like hundreds of his years. He travels down, but he can't find the source of his existence. So then he again comes back up, and then he starts meditating on the Supreme Lord, because by physical endeavor he couldn't find the Lord. As you know, Prabhupada always says that by physical endeavor, by building all these planets and all, sorry, by building all these spaceships to go to different planets, you will never be able to discover the Lord or even any aspect of the Lord. So it's only by spiritual meditation that the Lord can be realized. And this is what Brahma does then. He starts meditating. And then the Lord gives him darshan. And after that, Brahma prays to the Lord that you please help me. You're telling my duty is to create the material universe, but you please help me. And at that time, again the Lord shows his complete Virat Rupa to Lord Brahma, which is like a blueprint. This Virat Rupa was like a blueprint so that Brahma understands how to create the whole universe. So that time again the description of the Virat Rupa comes. So we will come across these descriptions in different chapters and in different cantos of Bhagavatam. And also there is a great, because there is a description of the hellish planets going on, the hellish planets have been described in great detail in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, what is the name of each hellish planet, and for which crime, who will go to which hellish planet. If you kill mosquitoes, which hellish planet you will go to. Or if you have illicit affair with someone's wife, which hellish planet you will go to. If you take away someone's property, then which, there is different planet for every crime. And that description again comes up in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But so with reference to this Virat Rupa, Srila Prabhupada warns in today's purport, and I was listening to a lecture of Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj on this topic. So he also explains that how Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport that, you know, this Virat Rupa meditation is there for the materialists, for the philosophers or the scientists who are godless and who don't believe in the spiritual existence of a personal form of the Lord. But Prabhupada says that it is still difficult to realize the Virat Rupa also of the Lord if there is no service attitude in a person. So Prabhupada says that even the Virat Rupa is not to be taken cheaply, that I will understand that this aspect of the material universe belongs to the Lord. He said no, there will be no effect on the seer unless there is service attitude in that person. And in that regard, Prabhupada gives an example. Prabhupada says that if a child is away from home, and you know the parents are missing the child, so when they see the shoes of the child or any object which belong to the child, like his clothes or his jacket or his toy or something like that, then immediately it reminds them of the child. So they associate that object of the child with the child because they are missing the child so much. So similarly, Prabhupada explains that if there is a relationship, if there is little bit of service attitude, only then will you be able to relate that object with the Lord. Just as with the child, there is some service attitude or there is some relationship the parents have with the child, and therefore they are able to relate the object of the child with the child. Now if there was no relationship, for example, if I go in someone's house whose child has gone away somewhere, for me that shoe will not make any difference or that toy will not make any difference. But for the parents it makes a difference and they are able to identify it with the child. Similarly, Prabhupada explains that unless there is service attitude, unless there is that desire to develop some relationship, then even seeing these objects in the universe will have no effect on the seer, which we see in today's world. You know, everybody is observing the sky, the hills, the ocean, but they don't think of the Supreme Lord because that service attitude is absolutely missing. So Sankarshan Das Maharaj was explaining that actually we are all Prakriti. We the living entities, we the jivas are Prakriti. We are actually to be enjoyed by the Lord. The Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only Purusha or the enjoyer. So the duty of the Prakriti is to serve this Purusha. But unless he serves the Purusha, that relationship is not complete. If the Prakriti himself is trying to enjoy all the time, and if the Prakriti is trying to lord it over the material nature, even after observing the gigantic form of the material nature, then that condition will be artificial for the Prakriti. He will never be able to find enjoyment in this world, because his true nature is to serve the Lord. His true nature is to derive his enjoyment from the service of the Lord or from the pleasure of the Lord. Because the Lord is the only Purusha. If we keep trying, we see in this material world people are trying to enjoy. But they are completely frustrated in their attempts to enjoy. And Prahlad Maharaj explains this very nicely. He was giving instructions to his demoniac classmates. Prahlad Maharaj was saying, Matirna Krishne Parata Svatova Mito Abhipada Yeta Grihavrita Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punash Charvita Charvananam. He says that people who are too engrossed in material sense enjoyment and who are too attached to the objects of sense enjoyment, for such people it is very difficult to develop any relationship or any taste for the Lord, because they are completely engaged in chewing what has already been chewed. Puna punash charvita charvananam. They are continuously chewing what has already been chewed, trying to derive pleasure from this object, that object. Like Prabhupada gives the example of a sugar cane. He says that what these materialists are doing is, after the juice has been extracted from the sugar cane, they are still trying to chew the sugar cane and try to extract little drops of juice from that sugar cane. But nothing is coming out, but the effort is so much in trying to chew that sugar cane and extract those one or two drops of juice. The effort is more, but the result is so less. Because I don't know if any of you have chewed, you know, if you chew a sugar cane, it's very hard work to chew a sugar cane and try to get the juice, especially if there's not much juice left in the sugar cane. So Prabhupada says that material life is just like that. You know, the endeavor is so hard for material sense enjoyment, but the actual enjoyment which we get is very fleeting. You will get little enjoyment which also goes away in some time. And this is how this Prakriti, whose actual nature is to serve the Lord, is suffering in this material world. So unless that true relationship is established between the Prakriti and the Purusha. That means that, you know, the Prakriti serves the Purusha, and the only duty of the Prakriti is to derive pleasure from the pleasure or from that service of the Supreme Lord. Then that relationship will be artificial, and the living entity or the conditioned living entity will never be able to get any satisfaction in this material world. So, even though Virat Rupa, to sum up, even though Virat Rupa existence or Virat Rupa meditation has been recommended by Sukadeva Goswami here, and the two purposes of this Virat Rupa meditation is, first of all, to bring the flickering minds of the material philosophers or the scientists who are completely challenging the existence of God. It is to bring or to channelize their uncontrolled mind through pantheism, that means through worshipping the objects of this material universe, or through identifying of the objects of the material universe with the Supreme Lord, bring them gradually to the development of devotional service. So that is the first purpose. And the second purpose of the Virat Rupa, which the Lord exhibits, is to actually reveal the pretenders who claim themselves to be God. The Lord here says that even though I come in a human form, I still have this potency to exhibit my Virat Rupa, to show that I am the Supreme Creator, I am the Supreme Controller, and there is no one above me. So that is the second purpose why the Virat Rupa is exhibited by the Lord. But even to realize this Virat Rupa, as Sukadeva Goswami says in this verse and Prabhupada explains, one needs to have the service attitude. And unless that is there, there will be no effect of this Virat Rupa, of realizing the gigantic nature of the Lord on the seer. So ultimately it is very important to develop this service attitude for any conditioned soul, to realize the Virat Rupa, to meditate on the Virat Rupa, and to ultimately gradually progress on the path of devotional service and come to the understanding of the spiritual relationship of the Virat Rupa with the Lord. So we'll end our class here and we'll see if there are any comments or questions. I know it was a bit of a technical class. The topic is like that. Bhuvar is higher because Bhur, Prabhupada starts with Bhur. Then there is Bhuvar, Swar, Mahar, Janas, Tapas. So Prabhupada is going higher. So Bhur is earthly planetary system. Then Bhuvar is higher than that, little bit higher than that.
So after 14, 1 is middle and 6 are.
Yeah. And when we say Bhur also, it's actually the whole, like, you know, Jambudvip, there is that description in the 5th canto. What constitutes even the earthly planetary systems, that description is there in the 5th canto. So this is the Vedic etiquette which is mentioned. Even in the Vaishnava etiquette manual it is given that one should always start darshan of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is actually impudent to directly look at the lotus face of the Lord. And also it purifies our mind, because that is why this chapter is also called first step in God realization. So here also we are starting with the bottom, like we are starting with the patala or the bottom of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because when we take darshan gradually of the Lord, then our senses are slowly getting purified by the time we come to the lotus face of the Lord. So in terms of Lord Jagannath, I know, like, there is sometimes like Jagannath's lotus feet are also, they give darshan of Jagannath. Some dresses have been designed such that we get darshan of Jagannath's lotus feet. So whenever the lotus feet darshan is there, we take darshan from the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise we start from the flowers, for example, which have been kept at the lotus feet, which represent that the lotus, because it's not the lotus feet are not there, but you know the dress is covering, especially in our Jagannath. I know in some Jagannath deities there is no lotus feet, because we know the pastime that Lord Jagannath came in that half form. He wanted to give darshan to this universe in that half form. But in our temple, the Lord Jagannath do have lotus feet. So then we start from the flowers which have been kept near the lotus feet of the Lord, because they represent that that is where the feet of the Lord are. And then we move upwards. They have arms, so we take darshan of the arms. They are wearing jewelry on their chest, so we take darshan of their chest, and then we move upwards. And taking darshan of their crown will take time, because they have huge crowns. I was also pondering on this question when Prabhupada mentions about service attitude, and Sankarshan Das Maharaj elaborates in his lecture. So what I understood from this is that obviously on one hand Sukadeva Goswami and Father Prabhupada is explaining that this Virat Rupa is for the materialistic people, the philosophers and the scientists. And the purpose is, the goal of this meditation is so that slowly it can diminish their demoniac challenge of godlessness, and it can bring them to the path of devotional service gradually. So what service attitude will these materialistic philosophers have? Like, if the Virat Rupa is meant for them, obviously we are starting at a really base level with people who are completely godless and who have no conception of this personal form of the Lord. So what I understand from this is, when Prabhupada talks about service attitude, so it is also explained in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita that the constitutional position of a jiva or of the soul is to serve. Now, a jiva may choose to serve maya, or the jiva can choose to serve the Lord. But you cannot take away that service from the jiva. And Prabhupada explains this with an analogy of sugar or water. So he says that the constitutional position or the dharma of sugar is sweetness. You cannot extract sweetness out of sugar. Or the dharma of water is wetness. You cannot extract the wetness or the liquidity out of water. So or salt. You cannot extract saltiness out of salt. So similarly, the constitutional position of every jiva is to serve. So when we talk about such jivas for whom this Virat Rupa is meant, then what I understand is cultivating some service attitude means, you know, engage them in some practical service without them realizing that they are actually serving the Lord, or cultivating them or encouraging them to serve the devotees or to do some, like we had this Gundicha Mahajan. So bring people who are godless, who have no, but you know, somehow engage them in some service. Or in Crossways we have many volunteers who come up to wash dishes just to get a free meal. So somehow little bit service attitude is there, then for such people the effect of the Virat Rupa will be more. Otherwise they will just remain at that concept of seeing, oh, this is the sky, this is the ocean, but not related to the gigantic form of the Lord. So that is what I understood when Prabhupada is explaining service attitude, that somehow or the other end, because they will not engage directly understanding that this is the Supreme Lord and I should worship. So increase their bhakti on mukhiti sukriti, like let them do that agyat sukriti of doing some service, so that later they can understand this aspect of the Virat Rupa.
It's not related to the moral values, like helping others. It has to connect with devotion.
Yeah, somehow it has to be connected to devotional service. Because that will bring them to the mode of goodness. That will also gradually help, because Prabhupada says that, you know, philanthropic work, charity and all that is in the mode of goodness, and mode of goodness is like a springboard to go into the mode of pure goodness. So that will gradually help, but when Sankarshan Das Maharaj is explaining in his lecture and also Prabhupada is explaining, they are talking about service attitude, like agyata sukriti, doing some indirect service for the Lord or his devotees. Okay, we'll end the class here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.